Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
Our scripture this morning is taken from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. Thank you for that music. And ladies, thank you. So I don't know if you've been paying attention, but the Pope is a little upset with AI. I don't know if you've been paying attention or not, but Pope Leo XIV recently wrote an 83-page encyclical about AI, Magnifica Humanitas. Only AI could have named it that, I think. The Pope is worried that AI should serve human dignity rather than concentrate power or replace meaningful human judgment. The debate is less about whether AI poses challenges to us or not, and more about how society should respond. So, not having time to read an 83-page encyclical that probably could have been a half a page, I went to my ChatGPT and I asked my bot, I said, "Bot, can you explain to me the Magnifica Humanitas?" I've been using my bot about 6 months now, and my bot has taken on my personality. And my bot said to me, "Look it up." Do you remember growing up, you would say, "Mom, what does so-and-so mean?" And they would say to you, "Go look it up." So I said to my chat bot, "Can you tell me where in the World Book Encyclopedia it talks about?" You remember World Book Encyclopedia? Some of y'all still got them on your bookshelves. I know you do. Oh, the good old days. My chatbot is not particularly worried about anything the Pope had to say. In fact, the bot told me some of the warnings from the Pope seem quite reasonable. The Pope explicitly frames AI as a transformational force in society, not unlike his brother of a previous papal leadership, Leo XIII, who wrote a similar word about the Industrial Revolution. And the question that both of the Leos are asking, and the question that we should probably be wrestling with ourselves, is how do we preserve human dignity? How do we preserve human dignity, especially in a world where all civilized discourse has been thrown out the window? Amid economic and political and social upheaval, how can Christians, which is what I'm mainly concerned about, how can Christians preserve human dignity in the midst of profound technological change? You remember the 1960s? Some of you remember the 1960s? How peaceful it was. I mean, the Beatles came singing peace and love. They soon turned to sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It wasn't such a great decade. Or the 70s. You remember the 70s? In the 70s, we suffered the aftermath of the 60s. That wasn't anything to write home about. The 80s and 90s, It seems like every 50 years or so, there is this ball of confusion that rolls towards us, and we all take on the posture of Chicken Little. The sky is falling, the sky is falling, the sky ain't falling. Are there struggles in our world? Absolutely. Are there challenges before us? Absolutely. Are the systems that we believe in vulnerable? Absolutely. So what is our role in all of this? Evidently, Solomon, King Solomon, son of King David, wrestled with similar questions. And Solomon had the answer. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. We are not the wisest people in the world. We are not always focused on God's heart. It seems my demons always come out at night, and usually on Saturday night. And last night I did a moral emotional inventory of how I've done through my years. And I can tell you almost every mistake I've made. I could tell you almost every place where I have fallen short. And all of those have happened because I took my eyes off God. At several points in my life, I said to the heavens, I got this one. You can take the day off. The Prosser channel is not working today. I got this, God. And the next day it all fell apart. And the third day I went, God, where have you been? And God said, you told me to take the day off. Whenever I have fallen short, it has been because I took my eyes off the heart of God. We are not data points. And AI can generate all the intelligence of the world, but AI can't translate that into wisdom. Wisdom is ours and ours alone, and it only comes when we spend time with God. It only comes when we claim Jesus as Lord and Savior. It only comes when we are on our knees, not in front of a screen. You are a courageous church. You are modeling to this community that you are trusting God. You are modeling to this community that you are paying attention to the movement of the Spirit, and you are presenting a word of freedom and courage to this community. You have taken stances against the morally narrow persons of the world. You've taken stances against those people without conscience who would reduce us to a data point. You've addressed the tough issues. You've spoken out against immigration issues. You've spoken towards sexuality and embracing all people. You've spoken about embracing people of color. You've spoken about women in ministry. You've made a place for mentally and emotionally challenged people. You've made a place for old folks and young folks and folks in between. You are to be commended for what you have done and what you continue to do, but please don't stop. Humans are morally accountable to one another. Even though some may think they are above accountability, throughout history, there have always been people who thought themselves to be God, only to find that their humanity was their demise. Every era of history has its idols. Power and wealth and pleasure and fame have always been there. We're not the first to have to deal with it. We won't be the last to have to deal with it. But I like my chatbot. My chatbot is really good at writing sermons for me. But not this one. Not any of them, actually, because my chatbot doesn't know my Jesus. My chat bot can't deliver the words to make you feel the presence of God. My chat bot can't lead you into a deeper relationship with the Almighty God. My chat bot can't stand at this table and say, "This is the body and blood of Christ." My chat bot can't impose ashes on your forehead and say to you, "It's going to be okay." That's our job. That's our job. And so we have to continue to be the presence of Christ in the world, to be the presence of Christ at work, to be the presence of Christ on the golf course. I know that's hard. One of the great temptations of life is believing that if we can just gather enough information, if we can just think hard enough, if we just pray enough, then we can control the world. Well, there's a sign in my office that says, "For peace of mind, resign as the Messiah." That job's been taken. I don't have to be the Messiah, thanks be to God, but I do have to be a child of God in the world. The real question about technology is not whether we should use it or not. The real question is, how will we use it? By trusting in the Lord. By loving God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. If we acknowledge God in everything, God will make our pathways straight. And I don't know about you, but I could use a little straight pathway every now and then. Trusting God means that we recognize God's perspective is limitless and our perspective is limited. The greatest threat is not technology, my friends. The greatest threat is that we get so lazy and satisfied that we ignore our calling. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Trust in the Lord, not in yourself. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And so we recognize divine guidance, and we also recognize human accountability. We recognize that prayer changes things, and we recognize that many of us don't even have time to pray. Diana Garland, who's such a hero to many of us, at the Baylor School of Social Work before she passed. In speaking to the culture of the day, she says the following: in our fast-paced lives in society, the family altar has become the back seat of the minivan. The family altar has become the back seat of the minivan. So pray before you chug down your nuggets on the way to swim practice. Pray as you chug down your peanut butter and jelly on the way to soccer practice. Please don't get jelly all over the back seat. That is not the altar of God. That is the altar of us. How do we survive the chaos that we find ourselves in? By trusting in the Lord more than we trust in ourselves. Derek Kidner, who is a wonderful British evangelical theologian, says these words: the hardest thing in my life is to renounce my own understanding. The hardest thing in my life is to renounce my own understanding. And Thomas Merton says it like this: only when we let go of our own selves are we then able to be ready to receive God's blessing. Not that we do receive God's blessing, but that we then are ready to receive God's blessing. So, I'm grateful for AI. It's another tool, like my phone, like my car, like my toaster. God has given us more blessings than we can count, and we take it all for granted. Trust God. Rely not on your own self, and receive the blessing of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Forgive us, God, when we get so caught up in the world, that we get distracted. Forgive us when we are so worried about all of the news of the world that we forget the good news of the world. Forgive us when we try to do so much for so many that we forget to spend time with you. Thank you, Father, for loving us in spite of who we are. We pray all this through Jesus the Christ. Amen.